Okay, we're good.
Great, okay. Welcome to everyone. So now that we've kind of done basically all the Gemaras on these sugyas of Bechor Mum, I thought we would kind of have a chance to kind of take off, yeah, and look at it a bit from above, hopefully Mitzvah Shem,
yeah.
And kind of explore one of the key questions in this whole sugya. So let's just speak out the Mishnah to start off with, yeah? So going back all the way to the Mishnah, so we've got Machlokas of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Huda says that you've got a bechor, that fell into a bore and it has some kind of, looks like a mum, yeah, before Yontif, right? So his din is that you can send down a mumcha, check out that mum, and if it is a proper mum, then you're ready to go, basically. You can eat that bechor on Yontif. So that's Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Shimon argues, yeah, and what does he say? He says, right, that any case where it hasn't been formally kind of identified and paskin before Yontif, yeah, ein ze min amucha. So what we're going to be trying to work out is, yeah, and this is the big machlokes we're showing him, yeah, and we'll try to be looking at our sugya as a whole, yeah, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon? So if I asked everyone, you know, if we were just to read this mission the first time and we see Rabbi Shimon says, Ein zeh min amuchan, yeah, what would we thought? Yeah, what would we thought that means?
It's
mukhsa.
It's not.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, yeah. when you first see that lashon, Ein zeh min amuchan, like, it would be, we think, look, so obviously, yeah?
Oh.
Okay. So, so the.
Not necessarily, because
yeah.
Because
what?
Yeah, that's the problem, what he's saying.
Yeah, you're right. That's what we're. Okay, well, that's what we're going to be looking at. I mean, listen, the first major problem with the concept of, I mean, it sounds like muksa, right? That's because the lashon ein zeh min amuchan, yeah. But the first major problem with that is we know that there's another machlokus of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon elsewhere. The famous machlokus of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon is, of course, on muksa, right? And you know, the so to speak, the strict opinion is Rabbi Huda, and the lenient opinion is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the classic shita that leis lemuksa, which means, yeah? Yeah, right at the beginning, yeah? We're going back to the beginning of the Masechet, which means that basically Rabbi Shimon holds any kind of situation of where it could come to something, yeah, which, you know, would be potentially usable and permitted on Yontif. Even if right now at the beginning of Yontif, yeah, it's not, yeah? But it doesn't matter. So if it could come to a situation of where it's a b'chor with a mum, yeah, pasking b'chor with a mum, right, we would have thought Rabbi Shimon's shita should be it's completely mutter. Yeah, there's no problem of muksa, right? And so it's literally mirror image here, yeah? So it's very, very difficult to say that the reason of Rabbi Shimon, the basis of the machlokas, is because of muksa. Ah, so okay, so we're going to see, there's actually going to be three shitas that we're going to explore. Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. And we're going to be trying to work them out a bit into the sugya as a whole. So Rashi's starting point is what I've just spoken out, yeah? And Rashi holds, because of the issue I've said, it's a clear Rashi. He says this can't be to do, nothing to do with muksa, yeah? Elamai, so what is the reason of Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi says the reason is because it's a new thing, yeah? Of paskening a mum on Yontif, right? That's some kind of form of kind of tikkun, yeah? It's nirak and mataken, or it's, you know, giving a psak is like a form of giving a din, yeah? That's the kind of thing you can't do with Yontif, yeah? So there's a prohibition against that, and that's why here it doesn't, you know, this lashon ein zeh min amuchan, because you can't paskin on the animal. That's Rashi. Now Tosfos comes along and he's got kind of three major questions, let's put it that way, on Rashi. First question is what we've said, that lashon doesn't sound like that, yeah? But even more than that, yeah, he said, well, if Rashi was right, that sounds like it should be the kind of thing which is only problem in the chatzchila, you know, paskining, yeah, you're not allowed to paskin. But if it happens, someone does paskin, yeah, what should the din be? Well, it's paskin, it should be okay now, yeah? Says Tosfos, but wait a sec. If you remember, yeah, we have at the bottom, kind of towards the bottom of this duff on a kafvav, going over the page, yeah? We have actually a whole discussion about kind of the case of what should be the chatzchila b'dieved, right? And we have a first brisa that says, ein mevakrim, which sounds like, yeah, it's only, it's the chatzchila, but b'dieved, maybe it's okay. Although everyone agrees, yeah, by the way, that if you have an animal which has developed some mum on Yontif, that's for sure b'dieved problem, yeah? But that's the first price. But then the second price turns around and says, no, yeah, they're all in the same category. If it has a mum going into Yontif or Yontif itself, it's all the same. B'dieved, it's a problem even b'dieved, yeah? And it ends up bringing, that brisa ends up bringing a support from our Mishnah. Yeah, it says, and our mission is meduyuk that way, because Rabbi Shimon says, right, ein zeh min hamochan. Sounds like it's even bidyeved. So says Tosus, this is a problem for Rashi, yeah? Oh, problem number two. Problem number three, yeah, three strikes and you're out, yeah, and this is a big problem, which we're going to have to focus on, yeah, it brought in this Tosfos, yeah, if anyone's had a chance to see it, is the Gemara in Shabbos. So we're going to speak out that Gemara in Shabbos, because it's pretty important, yeah? So the Gemara in Shabbos is a guy comes along, yeah, and he says, I want to ask a contradiction on Rabbi Shimon, yeah? So he starts off by bringing in the classic din of Rabbi Shimon. There's a case where you have a kli with oil in it, and that oil is a light, yeah, going into Shabbos, yeah. So Rabbi Shimon's psak is, yeah, and this is psak in Muksa, yeah, that's not a problem, yeah. Even though right now you can't use the oil, of course, yeah, because it's a light, yeah. But you sit and you wait until the thing might go out, and then any leftover oil that's around is not Muksa, and you can use it for whatever you want, salad dressing, whatever you want, yeah. So that's one psak of Rabbi Shimon, the famous psak of Rabbi Shimon. Comes along a bai and says, I've got a kasha. What's the kasha? How do you reconcile that with our Mishnah, right? The very case we're talking about, right? That a b'chor, ein zeh min hamochan, kasha, says a bai. So a bai answers, he says, well, you'll have to say there's three differences, yeah? He says, one, when it comes to a b'chor, right, you know, you don't necessarily know that it's ever going to get any kind of mum, yeah? And even if it does get a mum, you don't know whether it's going to be a mum kavua or mum over, yeah? And the third thing is, he says, and even if it is a mum kavua, right, you don't necessarily know you're going to find a mumcha to pasking on that mum, and to then permit it has to be formally pasking on, yeah? So he says, because of those three things, yeah, that's why Rabbi Shimon is more machmir when it comes to a b'chor with a mum. Okay, but let's just take a step back from that. One thing's clear. The way that we're understanding Rabbi Shimon is, it's a din and muksa. That's the whole starting point, yeah? And then we have to try to explain the distinction between these two things. Says Tosfos, but come what may, you see that the very starting point of the question is a problem in muksa. So those are the three powerful questions against Rashi. So says Tosfos, yeah, this is how I'm going to explain it. So he starts off, and Tosfos' explanation is basically building on Rashi. The starting point is, he says, you're right, Rashi, yeah? Because he's going to have to, and you'll see why he says this, because he's going to have to deal again with our first question. Why is it, yeah, that Rabbi Shimon, who's the lenient opinion on Muksa here, seems to be more stringent? It wouldn't make sense in terms of to shift everything round the Machlokas on Muksa. So he says, you're right, the starting point is like Rashi says, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing on whether you can paskin a mum on Yontif or not. Yeah? Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, no problem with pasking a mum. We haven't got a problem of din or nirak matakin. That's fine. And since there's no problem pasking a mum, you see there's a mum on the animal, yeah, going into Yontif. You know you can pasking it. Of course there's no problem muksa. But Rabbi Shimon holds there is a problem. So since there's a problem of pasking a mum, right, then basically, yeah, there's no way. You've got this b'chor with which it maybe looked like there's a mum on there, yeah? But if it's us, there's an issa in order to paskin it, there's no way you can access that b'chor, so to speak, yeah? So it becomes as if it's like, yeah, muksa machmas issa. So in Achanami, there is a problem of muksa, and this will be why even b'dieved it's a problem, and it's eizem min hamochan, yeah? And that's why in the Gemara over there, we always assumed it was a problem of muksa, but it's a muksa that is caused by the fact that you can't paskin the animal. So that's Shita's Tosfos.
Not because it's inherently
muksa. Not because it's inherently muksa. It's muksa because of the issa. And then we get on to the third opinion. Yeah, the third opinion is the Rambam. And the Rambam, as explained by the Magid Mishnah. And this is fascinating because this turns everything on its head. Yeah, according to the Rambam, yeah, the way he's explained, yeah.
Why is it muksa machmas issa? Sorry.
Yeah, sure. No, because so the issue would be, yeah.
You use a b'chor to.
Yeah, the b'chor itself. You're right. The use of the b'chor itself is not
use
the issa.
Like a tool.
But something. Let's say you know, it's almost like the only way you can access it is through doing an issa. You can't use the b'chor, yeah, and the b'chor can't be eaten unless it's paskin that it's got a mum. Before it's got a mum, it's got a din of a b'chor, right? Because before it's got paskin mum. It's like a mamash of b'chor, it's, you know, kodshi, yeah? So until you paskin that it's got a mum, you can't, it's not a b'chor with a mum that you can shecht and eat. So basically, that's I'm saying, it's not I'm using a lashon of machmas issa. It's not, it's a borrowed lashon, but I'm saying something where you can't basically use it without doing issa. Maybe that's another reason why it could be muksa.
It's not like what was the other one? Lachol issa. Please, lachol
it. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a, no, I used a borrowed term.
The one that the what?
Bosses.
No, is it called mechanchoi? What's the other one? A malachbush.
Butterkimehechanim?
Yeah. It's more, isn't it more like, you know, like once that's, for example, the bucket, yeah. Need the air conditioning.
Yeah, I hear he's butterkimehechanim.
Which means like once there, it's been set, it's like,
yeah, there, well, there yeah, it becomes it's a bit more like bug buses because they're yeah. You know, a clean, like you get something which is muksa in it because you get the water which is no lug and whatever.
Exactly.
But, you know, yeah, so I mean, it's kind of, the point is, you're right, there's issa like, there's issa which is preventing you using it, basically. But it's not, okay, I'll use a borrowed lashon, but we
that's
get
the lashon. I think that's the correct lashon.
Yeah. Okay.
What muksa machmas issa?
Yeah, than this. It is used.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
So basically, anyway, so the third sheet we're going to be talking about is the Rambam. So the Rambam turns everything on its head. And in fact, according to the Rambam, the only problem here is actually muksa. This is entirely a muksa problem.
Okay.
And which makes a lot of sense according to the Gemara and Shabbos. Yeah? But we have to explain how this fits together a bit. So the way it works is, according to the Rambam, is really the main problem of muksa is going to be a bechor that develops a mum on Yontif, yeah? And he says, but a bechor that has what looks like a mum going into Yontif, but is not identified, basically, it kind of like is an extension. You wouldn't say that's muksa in and of itself, usually, yeah? But since a bechor that develops a new mum on Yontif is muksa, that's what he holds, yeah? Even for Rabbi Shimon, yeah? So going into Yom Tov, it's a bechor without any kind of mum, and if it develops a new mum on Yom Tov, it would be muksa. So we'll say that this bechor, which looks like it has a mum on Yom Tov, but hasn't been passed in, is also muksa because of that, because you'll come to kind of confuse it. Yeah? So that makes sense? Once again, you've got a bechor which has, and we talked about this case, which has no mum going into Yom Tov, but maybe develops a mum on Yom Tov. That, he says, everyone's going to agree is muksa. Right?
Yes, even when it's Yom Tov without a mum.
Yeah, a bechor that goes into Yontif without any mum, and then maybe even if it develops a mum on Yontif, that's going to be muksa. So the Rambam says that this bechor that has looked like it has a mum going into Yontif, yeah? So that is also going to be muksa, but only because it's going to get the same din as the bechor which had no mum, because going to confuse the two.
Because of gazera, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of gazera, but like a muksa kind of gazera, that we're kind of applying the same din of muksa on both of them because they could be confused, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah? And he does hold, though, yeah, that once we say that, yeah, there is also a problem because the Gemara talks about, you know, not being able to paskin, yeah,
right.
Thing. So he says also because of that, you can't paskin, yeah, the mum, right? So even if there was this animal there that has an identified mum, you're not going to touch it. I know it's muksa, yeah, right? But you still, says the Rambam, you can't paskin it because we're worried if you paskin it, then you'll come to eat it, yeah? But Be'etzem, the starting point is the inverse of Tosis. Tosis, the starting point is you can't paskin, therefore becomes muksa.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Rambam, it's not true, yeah? Yeah, you would, you know, there wouldn't be a problem in paskin it per se, but the starting point is it's a muksa problem because of the classic, more classic muksa issue of where you've got a bechor with no mum going into Yontif. Therefore, the whole thing is muksa, and we have to just say, don't paskin it because we don't want you to come to Shechter or anything like that. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Okay, so once again, in summary, yeah, we've got three sheetas. We've got Rashi that seems to say, yeah, nothing to do with muksa. Muksa never comes into this, yeah, because Rabbi Shimon is always happy with muksa. It's only a problem, yeah, of passing the animal, right? And you know, it seems like from Rashi you'd say that's only lachatchila, seemingly, yeah. And then you've got Tosfos who says, no, you're right, Rashi. The starting point is passing the animal, right? But because of paskining the animal, that makes it into muksa. And then you've got the Rambam who says paskining would never be a problem. It's really just a muksa problem, yeah? And then once you have dinner muksa, then, you know, I'll tell you not to paskin it. But betzem, it's a muksa problem. Oh, okay, those are the three shooters. So what I want to try to do, the remaining time, is just to try to explain two things. One, the Rambam, right? Because we said that Reb Shimon is the sheeter that holds late day the muksa. So if that's the case, then we need a bit of explanation, what's the difference here, right? And then I want to go back and try to explain Rashi how he will fit with the biggest kasha, which is the kasha from the Gemara and Shabbos. So again, the Rambam is fantastic with Shabbos. I mean, you know, right. There it treats as a thing of being head on a muksa collision, yeah? Right? So we want to explain how Rashi, who denies there being an issue with muksa, how he explains the Gemara and Shabbos. Okay. So let's start off with the Rambam. Yeah. Now, I should point out, by the way, the Rambam has, you know, some major advantages. One is the Gemara in Shabbos treats it as completely being muksa problem, yeah, which we've explained, yeah. But also, there's another question that bothered me when we were learning the sugya, yeah, which is there's a place in the sugya which talks about, yeah, a situation of showing the animal to a mumcha, right? And the mumcha doesn't paskin the animal. He just looks at the animal and says, yeah, looks like a mum, yeah, right? Looks a mum kavua, right? And he's a, but hold off a bit, come back tomorrow, yeah? And it's on Yom Tov, yeah? And you come back, and now he asks questions about how the mum was bought, you know, came about, just to check there's nothing dodgy going on. And once he's happy, he paskins, yeah? So now, you know, according to Rashi and Tosafos, where the starting point is paskining, it's a bit difficult, because you are, Sach HaKol looks like, basically, you really are paskining on Yom Tov, yeah?
You started the process, Lifnai.
Right? Okay, you're right, you'll have to say something like that, yeah? But the problem is, if it's a psak issue, it's you have to do a bit more fancy footwork to understand that, because the actual psak is on Yom Tov, right? Whereas according to the Rambam, right, no, the problem is really just a muksa problem. It's not even just a stomach, it's a muksa where you confuse things. So you can very much understand, yeah, that where a mumcha has basically already seen and said, yeah, that's basically a proper mum, yeah? So now you can understand, there's no, you know, that is...
Wasn't born on Yom Tov.
It's not coming on. The only problem is a new mum that comes about on Yom Tov, yeah? So an unidentified mum, yeah, you could understand that maybe that's room for confusion with something which a completely new mum. But an identified mum, it doesn't matter that it hasn't had a psak on, but that's a very different thing, yeah? So the Rambam has a big revach in terms of why all those cases where it's not paskined on before Yom Tov, but that's completely fine, I'm not going to confuse it anymore. Okay, but what about this question we asked on the Rambam, yeah? At the end of the day, Reb Shimon is the shita that doesn't hold by muksa. He holds that something that could come out, yeah, at any stage and potentially be mutter, yeah? You know, there's no problem, yeah? So in this case, even let's say, more extreme case, yeah? Before with the new Mamon Yom Tov, yeah, where the starting point. So what, you know, who's to say that maybe Reb Shimon shouldn't say, well, maybe this animal in Hakonami will develop a mum and it will find it's a proper mum or paskin, and then I can use it. Reb Shimon's open-minded, so to speak. You always have in mind any possibility, yeah? That's classic Reb Shimon, yeah? So I saw an answer to the Rambam, yeah? Chazon Yecheskel, yeah? Who wants to say there's a difference here in the Bechor, right? Reb Shimon, when he holds that shita, it's always things that could come about which would permit the thing, midei shemayim. Right? So, you know, the oil, yeah? At some point the light, you know, could go out, yeah? And then you'll be left over with oil. That's bidei shemayim, right? So whenever anything could, you know, happen, bidei shemayim, Reb Shimon's shita is, yeah, you always think about those kind of things, that kind of eventuality, therefore you have your mind on it.
Exactly the opposite of how we end up
talking. Yeah. I was thinking that as well, yeah. But here, check out this note, because I was thinking it's a bit the opposite. It's not quite the opposite. Here why. Because the other side of the spectrum, yeah, is bidei adam. But within bidei adam, I was thinking about this. I'm going to address this point, actually, now you've said it, yeah? Now, he doesn't say this, but I was thinking, in bidei adam, there's two types of bidei adam. There's bidei adam, a person themselves, and there's bidei adam, another person. So I would like to say, if it's the person themselves, yeah, that's within your control, yeah? So that's better, right? But a bidei adam, someone else, someone other, Baal Bechira, yeah?
Yeah, speak to Brad.
So here, the suggestion would be, when it comes to paskin, you know, you've got your thing, and you need to find a mumcha that's prepared to paskin this animal, right? Yeah, and give up his time to whatever, to paskin, you know.
Right.
So it could be that on that kind of thing, Reb Shimon says, yeah, that's the final blow. Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Even Reb Shimon say, I don't necessarily have in mind that I'm going to be able to work it out to find a proper mumcha who's going to paskin for me on your. So anyway, that's the suggestion I saw in order to say why in Achanami here Reb Shimon happens to be machmir, yeah, even more machmir than Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the Rambam. Yeah. Now let's go back to Rashi. Yeah. So, Rashi, we're going to need to explain, you know, a few things, right? Now, the first thing is, in terms of Ein Zeh Min HaMuchan, yeah? So, we said that sounds like it's even Bidyevet, yeah? So, the truth is, it's not such a problem, yeah? Because Rashi, it could be, right, that even Bidyevet, it's a problem in terms of paskening the Mum, yeah? You know, there are such things where we say, don't do something, don't do it, you know, paskin a Mum, and therefore, even Bidyevet, if you do it, it's kind of almost like a knas, we're not going to let you use the animal, right? That on its own, Tosafos didn't seem to understand this discussion about this, yeah? But it's at least within Rashi, it's possible to say that, yeah? That's what he holds, and that's why it'd even be Bidyevet, yeah? In Zeh Min HaMuchan, right? But what about the Gemara in Shabbos, yeah? So that's a bit more problematic. But the way here's a suggestion to answer that. And it's actually, we start off with the Gemara we see, with another Gemara, part of the Gemara we've seen, which actually could be a big support for Rashi. Which is, if you remember, much later on, yeah, towards the end of this whole sugya, we tried to bring a support for paskening like Rabbi Shimon, yeah. And what was the support? We said there's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, right? Remember this? Now, what was the machlokus? Yeah, I mean, basically, we said everyone. If you remember, there's a whole list of big people who held like Rabbi Meir. We said he wasn't really held like Rabbi Meir, but they said what Rabbi Meir said was correct. So, what was the machlokus? So there, we were talking about a contrasting of a treif animal with an animal which has a mum. Yeah. So we said a treif animal. Yeah. If you shecht it first. And then paskin that you find that can be done, so to speak, afterwards. Checking the treifus can be done afterwards. Yeah, you don't need to first of all check the treifus beforehand. Yeah,
right.
Masha ain came for a mum, right? The Remez Shita was if you shecht it first before checking the mum. That's no good at all, yeah? Right. And what do we say from there? We see from there that pasking the mum is very important, yeah? That's a chash of a kind of thing. So chash of that it has to be done before you shech, unlike the treifa, yeah? And we said from that, we see, yeah? Mm-hmm. That suggests, like, because pasking the mum is so important, that's just like Rabbi Shimon. Now, that on itself, yeah, is mamash a huge support for Rashi and, I suppose, Tosafos as well, yeah? Because that's nothing to do with muksa. That's to do with the idea of being metakin. It's a huge tikkun. Yeah, it's like identifying the mumim is very important. Yeah, that is going to be it's going to be a difficult thing for the Rambam. Yeah,
right.
Because lechora that's mefurish saying that Reb Shimon is the issue here is something chashivas of being metakin the animal because of the mum. Right, but there was someone who argued on that, if you remember. Yeah, comes along a bai and says no, you're going too fast. Yeah, right. Bai says maybe that's just because of a knas. Now wait a sec. If you remember going backwards, yeah, the Gemara in Shabbos, who was that Gemara? That was Abaye, yeah. Abaye was the one asking a question on Reb Shimon. So it's possible to say, yeah, that in Nachanami, yeah, the Gemara understood Reb Shimon as being an issue of passing a mum. That's why we tried to bring the support from Meir, where clearly it was an issue of how a chash of the kind of tikkun, yeah. Abaye doesn't understand like that. Abaye argued on that, and it's possible, therefore, to say that Abaye held, no, the whole problem in Reb Shimon has nothing to do with that. It's to do with muksa, yeah? So Abaye Shitaso, yeah, held then, there's a kasha in the Gemara and Shabbos, yeah? But it's possible to say that Rashi, when he was explaining the Mishnah, was holding like the, you know, everyone else who did hold it, not like Abaye, held that Remeh was therefore, was a proof, and therefore the whole issue was nothing to do with muksa, but it was an issue of tikkun. Anyway.
Very nice. Call it wash. Oh yeah.